Chapter 8. Two in One. We follow Goldie down a bunch of cobblestone streets and alleyways until we reach a stone cottage with a round orange door. There's peeling paint on the windowsills, and the mat is all scuffed, but something about the house seems friendly. There's a small backyard with trees and a shed. Goldie lets us inside the cottage. It's tiny, but clean. The living room has a lumpy tan sofa with flat brown pillows. The rug looks worn. There are no decorations at all.
"I sold everything I could," Goldie explains, "but what little money I got for our stuff, I had to use for food."
I swallow hard. Now I'm definitely glad we decided to help Goldie. Jonah sets Prince and his skateboard down on the floor. Prince curls up on the worn rug, while Jonah and I sit beside Goldie on the lumpy couch.
"Thanks for offering to help," she says. "I'm sorry if I was rude. I'm just stressed."
"We completely understand," I say, "and we're for sure going to help. You need a bag of gold, so let's find gold."
"But where?" she asks. "No one has much money in Bebek. I can't borrow it, and no one will hire me for a job. I've asked in every shop and restaurant."
We've had to earn money in fairy tales before. When we fell into the story of Cinderella, we baked and sold brownies in town. But since no one in that kingdom had ever heard of brownies, we called them crownies. And Cinderella made a lot of money selling them, and even opened her own bakery called Cinderella's Crownies. I'm a big fan of alliteration. I feel a spark of excitement.
Maybe they don't have brownies in Bebek either. We could do that again. We could even change the name to something with a G. Grownies. Goldie's Grownies.
That sounds kind of gross, actually. Kind of like you're eating the ground. Or worms. Goldie's Gummies? Glownies? I'll have to keep thinking.
"Listen up," I announce, rubbing my hands together. "I don't have the name down just yet, but I think we should bake delicious chocolate fudgy cakes. Where we come from, they're called brownies, and people love them."
Goldie rolls her eyes.
"Yeah, people love them here, too. Everyone makes brownies."
"Oh. Okay. Forget brownies. Though, of course, now I wish I had one."
"What about cupcakes?" Jonah asks.
"I don't want to talk about cupcakes," I say, grimacing. I'm still upset about my baking disaster.
"We have cupcakes in Bebek, too," Goldie says.
"Cookies?" I suggest.
"Yep." "I could really use something sweet right now," Jonah says, "since someone never gave me a cupcake back home. I'm hungry."
"I don't have anything sweet," Goldie says. "Sorry."
"Oh," Jonah says, "I know. Cake pops. I bet Bebek doesn't have those. Those are newish."
"We have cake pops," Goldie says with a sigh. "We've had them forever." "Maybe we should move on from baked goods," I say.
"Would you start a band?" I suggest. "And put on concerts," Jonah adds. "Like in Rapunzel."
"Exactly," I say.
"What's Rapunzel?"
Goldie asks.
"Nothing," Jonah and I say. "Are you a good singer?" Jonah asks, changing the subject.
"Yeah. At least that's what my dad always tells me," Goldie says. "I'll sing the Bebek National Anthem for you."
We wait as she stands and clears her throat.
I'm already thinking of printing concert t-shirts to sell, and she starts to sing.
"Oh, Bebek, a place most beautiful."
Her voice cracks on the ace, and then again on the beautiful. Do you know what's not beautiful? Her voice. She stops.
"What? You don't like that song? It's a classic."
Jonah coughs.
"It's not the song that's the problem."
"Really?" she asks, surprised.
Is my dad just being nice? Yes, Jonah says, wincing. You do not have a good voice. Sorry, we don't either.
Speak for yourself, I say, and Jonah snorts.
Okay, I don't have a good voice either, I admit.
So none of us are getting rich off singing professionally, Goldie says.
Nope, I agree.
Can you sew?
No,
she says.
Draw?
Barely, she says.
Do magic tricks? Jonah asks.
I laugh. Really?
Why not? He asks. I'd pay to see magic tricks.
I cannot do magic tricks, Goldie says. The only magician I'd pay to see right now is one who could turn stuff into gold, I say. Like Rumpelstiltskin.
Goldie sighs. Rumpelstiltskin would never help, she says. Everyone says he's a jerk.
Yeah, I say. I've heard that too. Anyway, we need to keep brainstorming. Goldie, what do you want to do when you grow up?
Why?
Maybe it will inspire us. For instance, I want to be a judge.
Oh. Well, I've always thought it would be fun to run my own business.
Wait a sec. Wait a sec.
Goldie! I cry. What did you just say?
That I want to run my own business. Her cheeks flush.
What? You don't think I can do it?
Not that!
I jump off the couch. Before, you said Rumpelstiltskin would never help. You said he was a jerk. You've heard of Rumpelstiltskin?
Of course. He lives in the forest somewhere. Do you know him?
He's here? I ask. In Bebek?
Yes, she responds.
I look at Jonah.
Jonah looks at me. It must be a different Rumpelstiltskin, right?
But how many Rumpelstiltskins can there be?
It's not exactly a common name. It's not like my class has two Rumpelstiltskins, Rumpelstiltskin S and Rumpelstiltskin D. Although if my name was Rumpelstiltskin, I would probably insist on a nickname like Rumpy or Skins. Maybe Stilts. Stiltsy is kind of cute.
Do you think it's the same one?
Jonah asks me. Is that possible? Could there be more than one? I answer.
No.
We're in the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, not the story of Rumpelstiltskin. Would he really be in this story? That is so messy. Each story is distinct. Each story stays in its own lane. Each story is just right the way it is. There's no two in one. Is there?
I don't remember the Rumpelstiltskin story at all, Jonah says.
You never remember the stories, I say. Our Nana used to read them all to us. Jonah did not always pay attention. Since we found our magic mirror in our basement, I've been reading the fairy tales on my own to make sure I know as much as possible about any story I could potentially fall into.
What are you two even talking about?
Goldie finally calls out, throwing up her hands.
Just, what I know about Rumpelstiltskin's background, I say quickly.
Tell me if this sounds like the guy who lives here. She leans forward.
Okay, go for it.
There's this miller.
A what?
Jonah asks. A miller is someone who operates a mill, grinds wheat or corn into flour.
Got it,
he says, and gives me a thumbs up. This miller was hanging around a king one day, and he was kind of bragging. And he told the king his daughter could turn straw into gold.
Could she?
Goldie asks. That would be useful. No, I say, she couldn't.
Why would her father say that then? Jonah asks. Seems risky.
Unclear, I say. Anyway, the king said, great, if she can do that, I want her working for me. Then the king locked her in a room with straw and said if she couldn't spin the straw into gold by morning, she would have to die.
Oh, snap, Goldie says, eyes wide. That's harsh.
It totally is,
Jonah says. Right?
The miller's daughter cried and cried. And then, as she was crying, a little man named Rumpelstiltskin snuck inside. The miller's daughter didn't know his name, though. That's important. Rumpelstiltskin offered to turn the straw into gold if she gave him something. She offered him her necklace. He accepted and did it.
He did?
Goldie squeals.
Cool!
Yep. Except, then the king came into the room and was thrilled. But he was also greedy. So he brought the miller's daughter to another room with even more straw in it and told her to do it again.
Ugh,
Jonah says. Right. So the whole thing happened again, and this time the miller's daughter offered Rumpelstiltskin her ring, and he spun all the straw into gold again.
Hurrah!
Jonah says. Goldie narrows her eyes. I'm not cheering just yet. I bet something bad happens. King Ned is one greedy guy.
King Ned? Could it be?
Rumpelstiltskin's king is the same as Goldilocks's king?
Whoa.
Anyway, I go on. The king was so impressed with all his gold that he put the miller's daughter in another room of straw, and he said if she did it again, he would marry her and make her the queen. But when Rumpelstiltskin came back and offered to help her again, she had nothing left to give him.
So what happened?
Jonah asked. Rumpelstiltskin said that if she did marry the king, and if she had a baby, she had to give the baby to him.
Yikes,
Goldie says. What did he want with a baby?
Maybe he wanted to eat it,
Jonah says. Why would someone want to eat a baby? I ask, shaking my head.
Why did Snow White's stepmom want to eat her heart?
Jonah retorts.
Or why did Cinderella's stepsisters cut off parts of their feet? People in fairy tales do disgusting things.
True, I say. But maybe he just wanted a baby. Like, to have. Maybe he was lonely.
So what happened?
Goldie asks. She didn't agree, did she?
What choice did she have?
I ask. She didn't want the king to kill her. She agreed to the terms. She probably thought she could get out of it later.
Did she?
Goldie asks.
No.
So the miller's daughter ended up marrying the king because he loved having a queen who could make gold. He had no idea it was really Rumpelstiltskin who did that. And then a year later, she got pregnant. And then after the king and queen had a baby, Rumpelstiltskin appeared and told the queen to hand over the child as agreed. Goldie whistles.
Oh, no.
I nod. The queen was upset, obviously. She begged Rumpelstiltskin to reconsider. She offered him anything instead, but he wanted nothing else from her.
Because he was hungry. He wanted a baby sandwich.
Jonah says.
Jonah?
No, probably not. Anyway, Rumpelstiltskin felt bad for her and told her that if she could guess his name, she could keep her baby. No one in the entire kingdom knew what his name was.
It's not a very common name, Jonah says. How would she ever guess it?
That's what Rumpelstiltskin was counting on, I say. But one day, someone overheard him singing a song with his name in it and told the queen what his name was. Rumpelstiltskin was mad. Since he lost the baby,
baby sandwich,
Jonah laughs. Gross, I say. But Goldie giggles, and then I laugh too. Rumpelstiltskin stormed off, and that's the end of the sandwich, I say. I mean story. Now all three of us are laughing. I turn to Goldie. Can you tell us what you know about Rumpelstiltskin? Does that story match up with what you've heard? Is it the same guy? Goldie nods. I've heard about an elf named Rumpelstiltskin who got into a fight with the king and queen about something involving straw. He's been hiding from them in the forest ever since.
That matches up,
I say. I guess he's an elf.
Wow, Jonah says to me. That means we're really in two fairy tales, in one.
What's a fairy tale? Goldie asks.
It's a long story, Jonah says.
A fairy tale is a long story? Goldie asks, confused.
No, a fairy tale is a short story, Jonah says. Or sometimes a long story. It's a story.
With fairies? Goldie asks, looking back and forth between us.
Sometimes, Jonah says.
We've never been in two before, I say. How could that have happened?
Wait a minute.
The mirror! The crack, I say. Jonah cringes.
Oops. No kidding,
I sigh. He leans forward.
Or maybe yay, if it helps us.
I nod. It could be good.
What could be good?
Goldie asks. What are you two talking about? I turn to her and smile. We know how to get you the gold.